You're listening to Gamer Escape's coverage of E3 2011 live. We have our final day's worth of coverage. Once again, FusionX, Ganyman, and Gahoo. How you guys doing?
Tired.
Yeah, what they said.
Now, how many of you are going to come back with the con plague? Because that's usually what happens. You go to a big room full of sweaty nerds, and you come back, and you're very sick. I've had that happen more than once.
All right, thanks for jinxing it.
Good luck.
If I get sick, I'm not sending you the stuff that I got for you, kind of as a surprise. That wouldn't be a surprise. I would need to get your edges from you anyway. So.
I know, I'm a bad person. All right, so final day of E3. I got to ask, what did you get your hands on?
Played Little Big Planet. We were when we were standing in line for Uncharted 3 yesterday. We looked over and we thought we saw like the Toy Story logo over on the Little Big Planet screen. So we're like, what? So we went over there and they're coming out with a Toy Story level pack. Comes with new levels and costumes, and it's going to be out sometime this month.
Very cool.
So yeah.
I guess.
It's weird because
the last level. Well, no,
they've got new weapons or new hat that you can wear too. That spits out a new kind of block or something.
Yeah, but you could make that already. It's kind of weird because there's been like four big like level kit kind of DLC things for Little Big Planet, and two of them have been Disney.
Huh.
Because they had the first one was Metal Gear Solid, then they did Pirates of the Caribbean that added the water thing, and then they added Marvel, and now there's Toy Story.
That's great. The Pirates of the Caribbean added water.
Yeah, that was in the first. This is the first level pack for Little Big Planet 2.
Right.
All the other ones for Little Big Planet 1. So this is the first batch of level content for LDP 2. That was pretty much, yeah. I mean, what was it? There was a Jesse costume, Buzz, Woody, Slink.
There was one part of the demo level was you have to protect a train from the pig from Toy Story.
Yeah, the pig.
And he's kind of like flying around, like he's got wings like a plane, mm-hmm. but he's big and he's like shooting missiles at it. I mean, it was fun. Sounds a little off Toy Story, but it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it makes sense when you played it.
It's Toy Story and Little Big Planet. It makes sense.
Fair enough. I've never been completely enamored with with crossover IPs, and I mean, it's kitschy, it's cute. Did you say it was a free download or no?
No.
And it's interesting too. And
it's probably a premium because it's Toy Story.
Yeah. We didn't play it, but it's surprising that another Disney DLC pack would come out for Little Big Planet when there's that Disney universe coming out, which kind of looks like it's Disney's Little Big Planet.
Almost. Yeah, Disney universe looked interesting from the media, but we didn't play it. We didn't get in line for that. But for the Little Big Planet, we did capture some video of the new Toy Story content.
So yeah, we
maybe we'll get around it. We'll try to get around to posting that.
Right on. So were there other games? I mean, I got to imagine, you know, lines are atrocious, so it's going to be tough to get into things, you know, last minute, final day.
We got there. We had an early appointment today, and we'll talk about that later. But we were there when the doors opened, and by the time we even got back to the Nintendo and the Sony booths, they had closed the lines for Vita and Wii U because they were already full.
That's pretty crazy. And I have to imagine, even if you got in line at that point, like if you're at the very end of that line, you're going to spend all of your last day at E3 in line to get your hands on that shit.
Yeah.
Yes, you will.
It was kind of disappointing. I mean, because really, anytime there's an E3, the biggest thing is new hardware.
The thing about the Wii U is, like, you can go watch people play, no problem.
Yeah.
And watching it, and you're just almost kind of like,
I honestly, I don't get it.
I wanted to like try it, but I don't know. It didn't seem very earth shattering. You know,
yeah. I don't feel like I missed out by not being able to play with it.
See, yeah. I think that the Wii U targets a very very not quite there yet. The late adopters of technology, I guess, would be kind of the technical term for it, where, you know, you've got people who they don't have tablets yet, and they're not using their gaming services for streaming media, that kind of stuff. I have to imagine that this system would be enormously useful for someone or a family like that, but as people who are as kind of plugged into tech as we are, it's like, you know, we've already got the iPad, we've already got the streaming. I can bounce streaming video from my PC to my Xbox. I don't need a lot of this new, you know, a lot of this new kitschy stuff to be able to do the features that they've already got.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the things they we said is, like with the new Zelda game, you can transfer it right to the handheld and not play it on your TV.
Right.
Which is kind of neat, I suppose, but it's kind of like, meh.
I don't know. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I haven't seen the Nintendo press conference, so I haven't seen, you know, probably all the features that they're looking at for Wii U. But just from what I've seen, like the size of it and, you know, what it can do,
it's large.
It seems it just feels so weird. Like, it almost feels like an afterthought, because with, you know, you look back and how long did we know about Project Dolphin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like 3 months before E3, they're like, yeah, by the way, we got a new console coming. Like, what? You know, how long have you been working on this? Like, we just heard about it and it's coming out, you're totally announcing it like 3 months. Like, what is that?
Well, again, the hardware part of it kind of makes sense in that the Wii is very graphically limited in its capabilities. You know, that was one of its major criticisms: is, oh, it's got this, you know, pretty cool motion, control scheme, but the graphical output is nowhere near on par with the 360 and the PS3. So they're bringing that up to spec, and then
it seems like the Wii U console, not the new gamepad, is probably what the Wii should have been.
Yes, I completely agree. I completely agree with that. Yeah,
I'll be curious to see how it sells, because I mean, you know, they had the 3DS.
It's totally backwards.
It's not 3DS. It hasn't really been doing well.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, the other thing, again, with the gamepad, I mean, how big is that? Is it really?
It's bigger than a controller should be.
It's probably like a foot long and like.
No.
Yeah, it's probably like.
So you're talking like an actual iPad with
probably like 8.5 by 11, like a sheet of paper almost.
Yeah,
smaller than that.
A little bit smaller than that.
I mean, here's the thing: the way that they were showing it, they had like a little mock living room kind of setup,
mm-hmm.
and they showed the Wii U in the center of like the coffee table, and to the right and left are like the regular controller and the nunchuck. So, I mean, I think they're certainly viewing it, at least the way they're portraying it, as it's an accessory. It's something that will be used on some of your games. You know, it's obviously
right.
The steering wheel, you know, that you use for Mario Kart. But
sure.
I mean, like, it's an accessory that you will use for some games, not all.
Well,
I can see how it might be, like, if maybe it can help make a tablet more powerful. So maybe it has more applications than just some games.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought of, you know, the Netflix app on the Wii, maybe you can stream right to the tablet now.
Right,
In HD. But like you said, you can already do that on your Android phone or your Android tablet or your iPad.
Although
it may or may not be corded.
It
was corded to girls walking around who didn't have it connected to any console. The girls walking around with just the handheld, those weren't synced up with any console, and all it said on the screen was Wii U.
Huh.
So I don't know how corded it really is.
Well, and
it's like locked up to the girls more than anything.
And you know,
so you can't run away with it. But they corded the 3DS walking around. I
mean, yeah, but that was a different kind of cord. That was like on a little bungee thing.
Nah,
this was like a thick white, you know.
Maybe I don't
Nintendo
know.
Wii.
We'll see.
Well, you see, now, and some of our Final Fantasy XI listeners will remember this, but there used to be a PlayStation 2 controller that had, like, a laptop keyboard that you could mount in the middle of it. And I had one of those, and I used to use it, actually, for playing FF11. But the problem with it was that my right hand and my left hand ended up being so far apart that I ended up having coordination issues.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me and I'm, you know, I've got a low IQ or something, and I can't, or I've got bad hand-eye coordination or something. But, you know, when you get a controller that ends up being that big, I kind of feel like you can end up disassociating what you're doing on your left hand with as opposed with what you're doing on your right. And it'll take some time for players to adapt to a controller that's just that physically large. So I don't know. It's going to be. And the other really interesting thing about the Wii, and I think, or the Wii U rather, and I think that what's going to be a huge determinant with it is its price point. You know, again, you've got the HD graphics, so you've got better hardware that's inside the actual console itself, and you've got the tablet controller, which I would assume comes standard with the system. So how much is the tablet controller going to jack up the, you know, the shelf? Right. But how much is just that tablet controller going to jack up the shelf price? I mean, because tablets are like $200 right now.
To know that it needs to be affordable, but at the same time, it's going to be expensive.
Here's what I think about it. I think that the console hardware is really cheap, and the cost is all inside that gamepad. So when it comes down to it, it's going to be like a $300 price tag or something like that, where $100 of that is the console, and $200 of that is going to be a gamepad. Or it's 50-50 or something like that. But I think the console itself, like, yeah, it does HD now, but you're still only playing Zelda and, like, Kirby on it. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, how much hardware do you need? You're not playing Battlefield 3 on it. You're not playing the new Modern Warfare on it. Not yet, anyway. Like, what they show on the floor is, like, this silly pirate game where you're shaking the thing around, which the graphics on it were just, like, crisp, kind of... You know, 16
it was like
color.
Someone took a Wii game and made like an HD pack.
Right? Yeah. Like, they took a Wii game and put it on
1080p. Yeah, but yeah. I don't think that was a game. I think that was
a. But there's a couple of studios that announced like that they're going to be developing
and
for
that's
it
the thing
already.
Too. Last year, when Nintendo showed the 3DS, they're like, "Check this out! It's in 3D, no glasses, blah blah blah." And then they had like this huge image, and they're like, "These are all the developers developing for this." And it was a good list.
Yeah.
And then launched, there was shit for titles. The launch titles were terrible. There's still no good titles for it.
Yeah.
And they'll have one when Ocarina comes out later this month. And it's... They gotta be smart enough to know they can't repeat that again with the Wii U. They need launch titles that don't suck. They need launch titles that aren't like dinosaur fights in 3D. Like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that Metal Gear game is just starting to come out.
Yeah, I'm honestly, like, after the 3DS, after seeing the Wii U, like, I'm kind of worried about Nintendo. Like, I don't get it anymore.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I don't think I'm going to be, like, waiting in line on Black Friday to buy the new Wii.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's going to be like it was when the first Wii came out, when they were sold out for, like, the first year of that console. You couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, but, I mean, even when the Wii came out, there were grumpy old men that saw that and was like, bullshit, that's gimmick bullshit. There were enough kids that bought it.
I was one of those grumpy old men, and now I am. So.
Yeah, exactly. It almost feels like, yeah, now we have sort of taken that position and sort of... Yeah, so yeah. Who knows how it'll do, you know, when it actually comes to day one sales. It'll be interesting to watch, though.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, so other games that that you got to check out, was there?
I got to play with the Sony Ericsson Xperia phone for a bit.
Oh, that's the new phone with the gamepad in it.
Yeah, it's a. It looks like it's a Verizon only phone for now. Anyway,
I am okay with that.
Instead of a slide out keyboard, it's a slide out gamepad, and it's set up just like a PS2 or gamepad. I think
the phone is a PSP Go as a phone, so it's like a useful PSP Go.
Right.
That's pretty cool. I have to say, does it Does it have, I mean, I don't know.
It has analog sticks on it, but the analog sticks are like touchpads.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but it's all in the same place and everything. And the touchpads actually worked well, but the games that I demoed for it today were just like, I mean, they had Minecraft, which was, you know, it's Minecraft.
Right.
But, you know, they had another, like, kind of sword fighter game, which was kind of weak, and they were saying, yeah, this one's still in beta, and it still needs work. But then the other titles that they had playable there were titles that you can get just on the Android market, or you will be able to get just on the Android market, that may have unique tweaks to work with the new phone, uh-huh. but they'll be available on other phones, too. There is a short list of titles that will be exclusive to the Xperia, but they're nothing. The best one looks like, you know, you got Minecraft and Battlefield Bad Company 2, which are probably like the top dog titles that might come out for it.
Yeah.
Exclusive, but the others were stuff that you could get for any phone. So it was neat, but I'm not running to the stores to buy it either.
Well, let me ask you this. At the Sony press conference, they announced some kind of new mobile market that is something that
PlayStation Suite.
Yeah. Is the Xperia going to be PlayStation Suite enabled?
The Xperia Play is the first PlayStation certified device they're coming out with. I'm sure they're going to do more phones in the future. There's also two tablets that Sony is going to release that will also be PlayStation certified. The PlayStation Market, or however, because it's not PSN that you're buying these games off of.
Right.
And they're not selling well because it's not PSN. So if you buy Crash Bandicoot on PSN, you have to buy Crash Bandicoot again on the Play because it's not.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so
no one's buying anything.
I could see why that would be an issue.
Yeah. And it's really bad because when they're talking about it, you would think that if you bought it on PSN, you'd get it on the Xperia Play, but that's not the case, and they're not getting any sales because of that, I think.
That's a kind of an odd business plan. You know, kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, you look at it and you think like a business should know that this is good business sense to have it available in both marketplaces, especially, you know, if you've already spent the money. But, gosh, that is a bit disappointing. Although I have to say, I am looking at an Xperia for my next phone. So,
well, yeah. See, look, if I had an old phone that I didn't think was great, and I wanted to get a new Android phone, I would consider the Xperia phone, not because it's a PlayStation certified device, but because it's got like a next generation. I forget the name of the Android Snapdragon processor.
Yeah.
It's a pimp-ass Android phone.
Yeah.
Aside from any PlayStation certified stuff, but I'm not going to go like replace my current Android G2 phone with it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. No, that's understandable.
And then the other game we played that we got the demo this morning, which...
we didn't talk about Witcher yet.
Oh, sorry. You guys...
We went upstairs into a meeting room with the CD Projekt Red, right?
Yeah.
It's a Swedish developer. They did The Witcher 2, and they showed us an early build of The Witcher 2 for the Xbox 360. So it was kind of cool to see. I guess the engine that they developed, it, you know, they were kind of planning on, you know, they wanted to do the 360 from the beginning. They have DLC for the game right now for PC. There's like 10 things of DLC. It's all free. And they intend to have that free on the Xbox as well. I'm not sure how that's going to get by Microsoft. But
Nor did they know. That question was asked.
They're like, we'll figure it out. But the stuff that's in the game now, that'll be, you know, retail in the box. So it won't have to be downloaded.
Right.
It's coming along. It looks kind of like it does on the PC.
And they said it was really adult, right?
There's some bug. Yeah, it's a very mature game. We saw some boobs. some people are like, all right, it's already out now on PC. And is it out on PS3 now? They mentioned PS3, I think. I don't know. But it's definitely on PC. And it's coming out on Xbox 360 later this year?
This year. That's it, by the end of the year. Even though it was an early build.
Yeah, so there you go. And they said, too, that it's not a port. They're working on adapting it to the Xbox. So you know, it's not about, you know, texture size or memory. It's about art direction. So they, you know, they want to make sure that it's a good gaming experience overall, not necessarily that it's got to be, you know, the best looking thing, but it needs to, you know, have a certain kind of like vibe to it, I guess.
Right on. Well, you know, I can always appreciate when a studio really wants to stick to the aesthetic that they, you know, initially start with. Sticking to an art direction like that, that's definitely a solid plan for a game. So
yeah, I mean, it definitely has a fairly unique kind of look. Maybe not unique is not the right word, but, it, you know, it's kind of Assassin's Creed almost, I think. And it's not so much in the art, but I guess in the time and how it kind of where it takes place, very tactical.
It's like you're kind of a typical action RPG. And, I mean, it looks like a solid game. They've sold over... Is it 400,000 copies? It's been out for a little bit now, and
but very mature. I mean,
yeah.
It was not, you know, a passing shot of a boob. It was front and center and gory, and I mean, they made it a point to emphasize that, you know, this is for mature audiences.
Now, the last couple of times that we talked, you said that you were going to be getting a walkthrough of Terra Online. Did that go through today?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's the best game we played this week.
It was the best presentation we had.
Yeah, by far.
The guys, like, were really into their game. They were really into presenting it to us, and they were really into, like, trying to make us have fun with their game.
And, very cool.
So they took us into a small...
It looked like a tree with like stained glass windows or something in it.
Yeah, and actually in some of the assets we got some press assets, and one of them actually talked about their booth that like last year was particle board and this year was real wood, and you know last year was 8 feet high and this year was 20 feet high. Yeah. It was a pretty cool actually installation.
So that's like it's an MMO, that's an action game. So you can, you know, you walk up to something and you click your mouse, you're swinging your sword right away and you're banging at it. There's no engaging mobs or anything like that.
The way that they kind of described it to us is it was like a PC game for like console action gamers, but it's an MMO. So they want you to feel kind of like you're playing an action game, but it's, you know, really still an MMO.
It seems to play fast. The action is pretty fast, at least with the job I played. There's a whole political system to it.
That's what they were showing off, I think, mainly at E3, was you can get control of a certain area, and there's two ways to do it. Some areas you do it by pretty much, you know, kicking everyone else's ass at PvP. So, like, if you're the best at PvP, you can get control of an area, or by, like, popular vote. So you can go around and be like, hey, vote for me, and then you can raise and lower taxes, you can... open up, you know, like specialty shops, or you can jail people. And
that's again, that's
quite a bit to that. And then they teased at the end that you'd be able to get control of an entire continent.
Really?
It's kind of interesting. And I think there's like 18 areas, I think, that he said that you can gain control of. So it was pretty cool. They showed like a little video about, you know, the guy that's getting the vote, and then they showed the guy that.
Yeah,
it was the PvP guy.
It was really well put together to tell a story and prepare you for the demo that they were to throw you into.
And they showed it was more based kind of on the PvP like election aspect of it. Well, that wasn't, it's not an election, it's PvP, but
that's where the story that you jumped into went.
Yeah,
is the PvP guy won the vote.
Yeah, because you have to,
he needed help from the nice guy.
Yeah, because obviously, like, once you get into office, you want to stay in office. And so there's ways to do that. One of them is to, you know, people kind of keep the, you know, it's like, I forget how they described it, but it's basically like people still like you, and, you know, they'll recommend that you stay in office or something like that. And the other one is like, if no one likes you, you have to go and do some like crazy hard quest or something. And that was what we did today. We had to go and we had to kill a dragon or something.
Yeah, it was like the governor's quest or whatever they
called. Yeah. I think what it was is, like Fusion was saying, I mean, there's basically two different types of areas. So one, the way to get elected is through the popular vote. And if you're elected in that way, you basically, in order to stay in power, you need to keep your vote high. So some sort of popularity type of tracking system.
favorable, unfavorable rating. And then in the other districts or whatever they were called, where it's a PvP election, essentially, right? If you're at the top of the leaderboard, you stay in power. And there, in order to stay in power, you have to continually do these very difficult quests that will require you to get help.
If your rating falls below a point, you have to do the quest. I don't think it matters what region you're part of.
I think it did.
I don't know. But the what we did is it was like a PvP region or governor or whatever was requesting help from the nice guy governor, and it was like an alliance to go take out this, you know, this dragon thing that we fought together. The gameplay was I thought it was really fun. I died a couple of times, but they had two producers playing with us. And one of them was a decent healer, and he managed to get people raised up and healed up and back on the battlefield and out kicking ass. And we were on headsets, and they were like right there with us.
I had to give them props because, like, this is day three of E3. Obviously they've got to been doing this for like 3 days already, and they were really energetic. They were really polite. They had their shit together really, and it was a great presentation. And, you know, I mean, apart from the game, you know, not sucking total ass. Like I enjoyed that whole time I was there.
I definitely see myself wanting to try out the beta and maybe playing it for a little while.
So how many classes? Like, what kind of classes were there that you saw?
There's classes. Two of each. Two tanks, two healers, two ranged or something, and then two like melee classes or something. And then there were
10.
Okay.
And then there was like seven races or something, and all of the races can play all of the jobs. No one race is going to be like exceptionally better at a job than another
race.
The
only thing that they said would be different between races is stuff like, you know, you can mine a little bit better, or you can craft this a little bit better. Right. It's nothing huge. Like, okay,
right.
Dude, you have like 20 more strength than everybody else.
Yeah, they made it a point to say, like, you don't want to get to level 10 as an elven and then go, oh, I should have been this other race instead.
Right, yeah.
So they want you to, like, off the bat, pick the one that you like cosmetically and be happy with that forever with the stats you have.
Right. Well, that sounds really interesting, especially with the political system. Again, you know, that and Wok Fu... you know,
it sounds like more and more MMOs are getting into this political thing.
It was interesting.
Well, it's a great way to bring in the community and really make them feel as if they're a part of the game.
Yeah. It was funny because they presented this and they were like, yeah, we want to show you guys something that's really cool and unique. And then they're like, political system. I'm like, I saw this yesterday. they have a different concept behind it, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like Wok Fu, you're not doing PvP for your political system.
Right.
No, it's all voting.
It's all voting. This is like,
it mixes it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Gives you some different features and benefits that you can do.
And the game played really smooth. It had some pretty good graphics. You know, you can customize your character with armor. The whole UI is customizable. Like, you can move things anywhere. Where I could even move your health on one side of the screen and Fusion's health on another. So maybe I can split up my tanks if I'm a healer.
Oh, nice.
And I can focus on these health bars and not these or something.
Very cool.
The whole thing was very thought out. But I think it's been out in Korea for a year or so.
Uh-huh.
So you know, they've been tuning it for Korea for a while with the UI and any, you know, bug that they might encounter. So what you get in North America might be a little bit more polished than if it hadn't been out for a little while in Korea.
Gotcha. Is this PC only?
Yeah. Okay.
And did they have a speculative release date for this at all?
I think they're gonna try and start the closed beta relatively soon.
Beta was summer sometime, I think.
Yeah,
but no release date or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know if they're shooting to release this year, like maybe by the end of the year. I don't know. They weren't sure, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, very interesting. I mean,
Atari's publishing that one, right? Terra. Yeah, Atari's the publisher for Terra, and Enmas is the developer.
Man, I'm trying to remember the last game, the last MMO I remember Atari publishing. Oh man, was it Horizons?
I don't know.
Oh man, I want to say Horizons was an Atari title, at least publishing wise. Oh geez. Well, and if it was Horizons, man, Horizons, whoever developed that got burned bad by the sales of that game, which were virtually non-existent. But a good example of an MMO that had a lot of promise and a lot of ambition, and they set out to try to do a whole lot of new things, and none of it ended up panning out or working for them in the way that they intended, and it just ended up folding in on itself. I do believe that was Atari published, I want to say. But very cool. Terra sounds really interesting. I'll be anxious to take a look at video and screens of that. Hopefully we'll see that pretty soon. So being on the floor at E3, walking around to the different booths, I understand that you can't get your hands on everything, but what else did you just visually see that was like, ooh, I wish I could get my hands on that?
For me, I think it might have been that Monster Tales Connect game, the Cookie Monster and Elmo. I wanted to try it. It looked pretty sweet, but I mean, the demo looked like, I saw it a bunch of times walking by and stuff, and it was just a Simon Says kind of game that they were playing.
Yeah, yeah. Little kid.
The only thing that they were really showing off with that game, so I don't know what other kind of mini games they might have, but it looked pretty fun. And the Disney Universe. This is the kid in me talking, I guess, right? The Disney Universe game looked... I mean, I wanted to try and get up in the Disney booth and check it out,
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was just out of energy to get up there.
Well, I mean, you're in L.A. You could just drive up to Anaheim and go to actual Disney World.
Yeah.
just a short drive up to Anaheim.
What you saw about Disney Universe, you might be able to find better info than what I saw, but it looked like you might be able to throw yourself in the game somehow, because they had an ad where the mouth, like, it looked like a Lilo and Stitch costume, right? And uh-huh. The mouth was open, and the mouth was a mirror of some kind, and it was like, picture yourself here, and it was like, you're wearing the costume. So all the ads were like Lion King costumes, almost like Little Big Planet costumes.
Right, yeah.
Costumes for every Disney movie ever. Like, there was Aladdin ones, and there was Toys. I don't know if there was Toy Story. But there was, every cute Disney movie had a costume. It's called Disney Universe. So it looked like something to investigate anyway.
Now, just going back to the Sesame Street game here for just a second. That's Tim Schafer is developing that, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's a really strange, that's a strange transition from Psychonauts to that heavy metal game that I can't remember the name of. Yeah.
Graphically, that game looks really impressive, I think. Like, the fur on Cookie Monster and Elmo, like, it looks really cool. Yeah. Like, it looks well done.
Well, it's Tim Schafer. It better be well done, especially if he's, doing... friggin' Cookie Monster, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously, it's made for little kids, and I can appreciate that, and that's really cool. But I'm usually really excited for Tim Schafer games.
The other thing you see there too is like every platform's got at least one new dance game coming out.
Yeah.
It's like DJ's bumping music, and there's people dancing like on every corner you turn. That seems to be pretty popular. There's like a new Glee game that seemed to have some kind of popularity behind it.
So they were doing a, we didn't get our hands on it, but a kind of a public demo of the new Assassin's Creed, which looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the play, seemed to be largely the same. They were touting this new hook sword, which was kind of a combo weapon where you could use it to navigate the city on these different wires and then use it as a sword. But, graphically it looked great. I mean, certainly the gameplay, still looked very solid and looked like something worth checking
out. And a lot of these games, too, something to note.
With Assassin's Creed, you can craft bombs now.
Yeah, you can craft bombs. A lot of the games that were on the floor
are existing IPs, they're sequels, we've seen them before, and it's the same game with a couple little teeny things added
right.
to it.
I mean, right. Yeah. When you have such great controls like you have in Assassin's Creed, it's almost like, how do you make this better? All you can do is really change the environment or the story. Yeah.
They're just continuing the story where it left off, and I think Assassin's Creed now goes to Constantinople, and there's a whole Assassin's Guild out there.
The trailer that they showed, there's a teaser at the end where they show, it just looks like a little gateway at the end that's going inside of Desmond's mind, his subconscious. What that was.
Yeah. And it was like a white, it was like a gate that had like white light.
Like a door, That's the subconscious is what that was. So
that's really interesting.
And they were like, oops, oops, not supposed to see that. And then they turned it off. Like, it was a joke, you know?
Yeah. Well, oops, I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah, that's how Terra was when they were like, oh yeah, maybe you can rain a whole continent. Oops.
So now, before we got started, you guys said that you guys got some swag when you were out there.
Yeah, so we've got plenty of extra swag to have some contest with. So we don't know the exact details yet. We'll post them up on the site, but we'll have a couple of prizes to give out of some, you know, T-shirts and things like that that we've collected while we're here and that we'd like to share with the community.
Awesome. Well, that's really exciting, and I'm sure that that everyone listening will be very anxiously awaiting the contest details. So don't keep them waiting very long.
No. We'll
get it up.
We'll have some kind of contest, and we'll get it up as soon as we can.
Right on. Well, that's the final day of E3 2011. An exciting year. A lot of sequels, a few new IPs, out of the whole E3 2011, I know that Fusion, you said that Terra was probably the best thing that you saw, but what, out of the whole thing, what are you most excited for individually, each one of you, starting with Ghani?
I don't know. When I got here, I wanted to see the new Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the thing I'm most excited for. It's, it's probably Hitman and Tomb Raider, but those are 2012 titles.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, those are still pretty far off.
The Wii U is like, I mean, kind of even the Vita or the Vita. It's like, yeah, we didn't get to see it, but at the same time, like, it doesn't feel like we're missing out terribly. Like, yeah, you know, we kind of saw it. We didn't get to play with it, but whatnot.
Yeah, they're like more of the same old, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe next year there'll be like a new Xbox or something that'll be really exciting. Or
that'll rittering.
Yeah, yeah. Gahu, how about you? Highlight of the whole E3 2011?
Not to match repeat what the other guys have said, but I mean, I think they're right. I mean, for me, the stuff that we were able to play, I think Terra was definitely right up there. I mean, it was just a lot of fun to play. Obviously, you know, we all come from somewhat of an MMO, you know.
We were all level 50 characters right
now. But it was just, you know, it was entertaining. I mean, really entertaining to play. You know, as far as the non-playable, I mean, Hitman just, you know, it blew me away. I mean, it was, you know, as we mentioned the other day, you know, it was a 20-minute, kind of behind-the-scenes look that we were able to get at what they called, you know, pre-alpha or whatever it was. But it just felt like watching, and it was, you know, being fully played. You could see the guy playing it, and it felt like watching a movie for 20 minutes, a good one.
Wow.
Just really, really amazing to see, and really intense, and looked like a lot of fun to play as far as the different things that they've added. So
with Hitman, you were like, how is this... In every corner he turned, it's like, all right, now how's this little situation going to work out? When he walks up to a cop or he walks into the hippie's apartment or whatever, you're just like, oh, cool, now how is this going to play out?
Right.
Every situation played out a little bit differently.
That's really cool. And Fusion, how about you? I know you mentioned Terra, but highlight of the whole show.
It's hard to say because there were some games I really did want to try and I didn't get to. Arkham City, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah.
You know, I. That's. the best one that I
Uncharted.
Well, and you know, I do love Uncharted to death. Don't get me wrong, but you know, from what we were able to play, it's the same game. They have made adjustments to the multiplayer. You know, I've read a bunch of stuff online about it.
Yeah,
I just, you know, we got up there, we played a match, and we were done. You know, it's not like I got to sit down with it and look at everything.
Right.
For the one that for playable, I don't know. Terra was kind of nice. Oh. But for just overall kind of best of E3, we didn't see a lot of it, but I think the direction they're going with the new Tomb Raider, awesome. I played a little bit of Tomb Raider games in the past, and I always got frustrated because I didn't know what the hell was going on. But with this one, like, I'm really excited to, you know, like, I'm going to buy that day one.
Yeah.
You know, no questions asked.
No, I think I'll change my vote, though, for this year's releases to Battlefield 3.
Oh, yeah, Battlefield 3 does look great. Looks totally epic. Way better than the swimming of Modern Warfare 3. Well, thanks a bunch, guys, for heading out to E3 and for being our boots on the ground and doing the hard work and getting your hands dirty with playing some of these games. Very cool, guys, and thanks for reporting back.
Yeah, and make sure to we'll have details on that giveaway at some point. We gotta figure out some stuff, but yeah, lots of cool stuff that we'll be handing out. So keep an eye out for that.
Excellent. Well, that's going to do it for Gamer Escape's coverage of E3 2011. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure to check out our website at gamerescape.com. Follow us on Twitter at gamerescape or Radio ESC if you want information about Gamer Escape Radio. That's it. My name's Nate, a.k.a. Aniro. We'll see you next time.